You know, we serve a mighty God, don't we? I tell you, if you've been here for the last several weeks, you know we've been in the book of James, and we're going to stay in the book of James this morning. Last Sunday, we began sort of a different part. We had been in verses 1 through 12, and last Sunday we started in verse 13. Today, we're going to continue with our series entitled, This is a Test, Holy and Unholy Testing. Now, that may be a little bit of an odd way of putting it, but if you stop and think about it, we are tested from both external and internal sources. The external sources come from outside people, from outside things that come into our lives and test us as children of God. But also, there are what's called internal or unholy testing. You see, the external things that come into our lives that give us trials and tribulations are things that God uses to help us grow and to help us mature. And when we come through those, by the way, aren't you glad you get through them? They don't come to stay, they come to pass, as we learned last week. But when you get through these external tests that God uses for us to grow, we come out a whole different person. In fact, many, many times we come out a better person than we were when we went in those. But also, it was brought to our attention last week from James that there are such things as internal testing. These are also called unholy testing. He says they're temptations. But these type of tests, these holy tests and these unholy tests, are what God gives us in our lives, and we need to take those and use them in the correct way. In verse 13 last week in James chapter 1, it says, "Let no one say when he or she is tempted that I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with an evil or with evil. And he himself tempts no one with or through an evil thing." And we learned that the holy tests, as I've said, bring out the best in the child of God. But the unholy tests are just the opposite. They bring out the worst in people. Friends, God does test us, and he uses those tests. He tests men and women, and he tests boys and girls. As far as our faith is concerned, we're tested with these things that are external. But also, friends, he tests us, and he never uses, that is, anything evil to tempt us in our lives. He will not use evil because there's no evil in him, and he certainly isn't going to use evil to tempt you and to tempt me. And so today, as we continue on, I pray that it'll speak to you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has been tempted. He went through temptation. He went through temptation in the wilderness or in the desert, out in the wilderness, and was tempted with all sorts of things from the devil. And you can use that, or you can find that in the Gospel of Mark, where he says that the devil came to the Lord after he had been in this wandering in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, he hadn't had a thing to eat when he was in the desert, when he was in the wilderness. He was hungered. He was thirsty. And it says that the devil came to him at that very time and tempted him with all sorts of things. And I want to tell you today, Christ Jesus withstood the test. Jesus was tested. He was tempted to prove that you and I have a Savior. Get behind me, Satan. Amen. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to Satan. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And I'm going to stand by that today.
Amen.
Jesus was tested to prove that we have a Savior. He was tested in all areas so that we can depend on Him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He could not sin. He had no evil within Him. If He had been able to sin or to fall short in some way, then I want to tell you something. Our salvation is null and void. Our salvation is no good. If he could fall into sin, then we don't have any salvation. It wasn't ever real in the first place. But I said that to say this: God cannot and will not and never will tempt you with sinful things, because God will not tempt you with sin. I'll tell you what God will do, though, and has done already. He sent a way out of it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the reason for that is because we are all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I want you to know that today God does permit us to be tempted with sin and by the devil, just as He allowed His own only begotten Son to be tempted with sin and by the devil. You and I will be tempted with that, and it comes internally from us if we fall into sin. Look at verse 14, James chapter 1. It says, but every man, I want to add woman to that. That simply means mankind, every human being. Every man, every woman, every human being, every person is tempted when he or she is lured and enticed by his or her own desire. We are tempted by the evil of our own hearts. Now, there's a lot of times we try to give the blame to somebody else. We want to put the blame on some other person, or we want to put the blame on some other thing. And when we got started last week, we used the example of Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, Eve enticed Adam to eat the fruit. And he said, well, Eve made me do it. And then Eve looked at God and said, yeah, but the serpent made me do it. And friends, we look and we say, the devil made me do it. How could you let that happen to me? And what all that is just blaming God for the things that we do. We blame Him. But I'll tell you, every time we do sin, we will try to put it off on somebody else. And one of the things that we've put that off on is the science of medicine and psychology. We blame medicine. We blame psychology by saying or putting a label on our sin and call it a sickness or a disease. And so by doing that, friends, man's trying to do one thing in particular. When we try to call it a sickness, when we blame medicine or psychology for our sins, and we say that it's a sickness or it's a disease, here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get out of being judged for our sin. We're trying not to be standing in judgment. We're trying to escape God's judgment. But from that, friends, there is no escape. Every person that has ever been born will stand before God in judgment. Now, if you're a child of God, you'll stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be judged by your sin. Your sins were judged at the cross. But we will be judged for the things that we do while we are saved, while we are the child of God. But if you are unsaved, then you will be also standing before God someday at the great white throne judgment. Nobody is going to escape standing before God and answering for the things that he or she has done. I want to tell you this morning, sin is not a disease. Sin is not a sickness. Sin is the moral failure for which man absolutely must give an account someday. A science, medicine, another person, a material thing, some obsession with some physical thing or material thing that you are obsessed with is not where the blame lands, my friends. Man can't even say that the devil made me do it. Sin doesn't originate with any of those things or any of these things that we've talked about this morning. Sin originates and can be followed and tracked down, just as James says in his epistle, the den of sin comes when each one is tempted and is drawn away into sin by his or her own desires and is enticed. Now, listen to me very closely. In this day in which we live, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear how sinful they are. But friend, sin comes from within us. Sin comes from our old, evil, fallen, unregenerated, natural heart. Every one of us are from time to time tempted. There's not a soul in this auditorium this morning that has not been tempted in some way. Every one of us have lusts within our own hearts. Every one of us have an appetite for impure things within our hearts. Every one of us has the tendency to be constantly pushed toward and hunger for sin. For example, lust is like a pretty woman prancing around, parading around with her seductive allurements and enticing or drawing people to herself. The supposedly helpless victims are drawn to this evil, pretty woman. They're drawn to her. Now, here's a little bit easier illustration to understand. One day, a little boy got home from school, and his mom was in the kitchen getting supper ready, and he kind of disappeared. And what he liked to do after school, he came in pretty hungry. He liked to sneak into the pantry. It was an open pantry, and he could go in there and shut the door behind him. Mom missed the little boy, and she called out, "Willie, where are you?" He said, "Mama, I'm in the pantry." And she said, "Well, what are you doing in the pantry?" And unbeknownst to his mother, he had gotten down a box of those Little Debbie oatmeal cream cakes. And he had that box sitting in front of him. Mom said, "Willie, come out of the pantry. What are you doing in there anyway?" And the little Willie said, "I'm fighting temptation." Now, I'm a witness. When I have a box of Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies in front of me, that's no place to fight temptation. Amen? That little guy was in the wrong place trying to fight temptation. But that's the same exact place that a whole lot of us grown-ups try to fight temptation too, when it's right there in front of our face. Friend, food is good. Y'all know I like to eat food. Food is good, but it'll sure make you sick if you eat too much of it, right? Especially if you eat the wrong kind of it. Now, this may be a little controversial, but alcohol is good for medicinal purposes. Grandma and Grandpa used to use it to make the cough syrup with, didn't she? Put a little rock candy in there, and it kind of cut that cold. So it's good for things like that, but I'll tell you something else too. If you drink enough of it, you're going to get drunk. It'll make you drunk, and you can stay drunk on it. But perhaps the most controversial thing in the day in which we live is a little three-letter word called sex. You know, sex is a good thing. when it's used correctly as it's instituted within God's holy word in holy matrimony between the Bible says, one man and one woman, if it's exercised that way, it's a godly thing. There's nothing evil about it. In fact, it's exactly the reason that human beings, according to the Bible, were created. One of the reasons they were created was to populate the earth. The main reason we were created was to fellowship with God. But within the beautiful bounds of holy matrimony, sex is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But if you go outside that institution of marriage and you have illicit sex, any way you want to put it, it's not going to cause anything but collateral damage in the lives of those that indulge in that kind of sex. Now, I'm not trying to be graphic this morning. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. But our society, men and women, is disintegrating when it comes to the family unit. Families are disintegrating. They're practically non-existent in many ways. It's gotten so bad that a teacher asked a little boy one day that was in the first grade where he lived, and he scratched his little head and he said, "I'm not sure, what day is it?" And the reason was because he had about three or four different families that he had to deal with. Poor little thing was confused. Well, obviously, he was confused. Sex has been taken beyond the limits of matrimony. And the result of that is broken families, sexually transmitted diseases, pseudo-marriages, thousands of children being raised in unions instead of in homes by moms and dads. I don't know about you, I was raised in a home by my mother and my dad. My mother had a big part in it. I'm glad that she did. I'm glad that he did. But today, all that has just been changed, and we're expected to embrace this new idea, which is not a new idea. It's just an old idea that's been reintroduced within the 21st century, all because man is trying to cover up his sin. Now, that's some hard preaching, and I know it is. It's tough statements. But according to God's word, it's the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, that leads us to this question. Are we helpless? Are we helplessly victims of all the predicaments and all the enticements that sin has caused in our life? And the answer is absolutely no, we are not. Now, if I stopped right there and didn't go any further, I wouldn't blame you if you pointed your finger at me and said, "That's the awfulest, meanest man that I've ever heard speak in a church." If I stopped right there. But I'm not going to stop right there. Because we are not helpless victims of the circumstances of sin. Because we can expel it. We can let it go. We can get rid of all those enticements. We can cleanse our heart and our mind today. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the moment of temptation, we have, by the power, friends, of the Holy Spirit of God, the way, and by the authority of His holy word, according to the scriptures, to escape. All we need to do is call on God. Call on Him. Ask Him for deliverance. Ask Him in prayer and in remembering. Say to Him, Lord, You are my strong tower. I can run to You. The Bible says a righteous man runs into this strong tower because it's a safe place. And I want to tell you, we need a safe place to run in the day in which we live. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and just read something real quick that I shared last Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says this, and Jamie doesn't have this for the screen, but I'm going to read it. By the way, last Wednesday night, I guess it was, I mentioned the fact that this is probably the most misconceived scripture in the Bible. It's used wrong all the time. Here it is. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, nothing's ever happened to any of us that hadn't already happened to somebody else. Nothing's new under the sun. Nothing's come to us that hasn't already been in somebody else's life. But God is faithful, it says, who will not permit you to be tempted. There's that word, tempted. Above what you are able, with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Listen, God's way is the way to escape it. You escape it by running straight to Him, to this high tower of strength that is a safe place. Friends, God's made the way for you to get through your temptation. It's going to Him and to Him alone. Now I'm done. You've got the power today. If you're a child of God, you have got the power to solve a great deal of things in your life. You don't have to keep blaming everything on everybody else. All you need to do is to go to God. Go to the living Lord, the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at this very minute, right now, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and you tell Him, I am a sinner. I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I'm guilty. I'm tired of being guilty. I'm tired of living in sin. I want to be made whole. I want that right now. And do you know what the Bible promises anybody that does that? It promises anyone who comes in that way with a broken and contrite and humble heart to God's throne of grace, it says that He will in no wise cast you out. Now, I call that some love and some grace, don't you? And we need that. I need grace every day. If it wasn't for God's grace, I could not get through the day. Friend, He will remove the guilt. He'll remove the shame. He'll remove the sin. And by authority of the Word of God, He will take that and sink it into the depths of the sea, and it'll be gone in His eyes forevermore. Now, I tell you, that's some love right there. That's something we all need. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as man thinketh in his heart, so he'll be." If you're tempted in your heart to sin, your heart is what's calling you to do it. James says so. Jesus says so, that you are drawn by your own lust into that sin. But the Lord Jesus said this. He said, "I will draw men to myself," in John 12:32. And you may be thinking, well, He can't draw me, Brother Tom. You don't know what I've done. I've done some of the worst things that anybody's ever done. According to the scripture that I just read you, you haven't done one thing that someone else hasn't already done before you. Nothing's new. And you haven't done anything that's too bad that God won't forgive you of your sin. Not one thing. Friends, he's not going to force himself on you. That has to come from our heart as well. He won't make you believe in him. He won't make you come and admit that you're a sinner and that you're guilty. But I'll tell you what he will use. He'll use bands of his precious love to draw you to himself. He will woo you and win you over by none other than his love and his grace. Now let me tell you very frankly, I know as well as you do, evil is a very attractive thing. And we're told that anyone can get caught up in the pleasures of sin. Man can be enticed, according to the scriptures. He can be hooked. The hook's baited, and lots of time man reaches out and is hooked in the jaw and is drawn into terrible sin in his or her life. But listen to me very closely. Even though sin is an attractive thing, and it may be fun for a little while, one of these days, that sin is going to cause you to come tumbling down. And it's going to be over. And you're in the process being ripped away from the very maker, the very creator, God, that gave you life in the first place because of that sin. It won't stay attractive. It won't stay fun. It won't continue to give you pleasure forever and ever. And in the end, the outcome is never good when things are wrapped around sin. And do you know that the Bible says that it would be better if you just followed God, even if God's children become abused and mistreated and downtrodden by the world? It would be better for you to go there, to be mistreated with the people of God, than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of a thing called sin. There's a very extensive list in Galatians 5:19 through 21. It says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. What a list of things that can be used to draw us into sin, that can send someone away from God. Jesus died so that you have a way back. There's nothing you've done that can't be forgiven. As we sing today, I want to ask everyone to search his or her heart. And if you need the Lord in your life, as the scripture says, he will in no way turn you away. He'll accept you. And the song says, just as I am, without one plea. And that's exactly how you come. Just as you are. Because the ground is level at the cross. Everyone that's ever been saved came the same way. There's no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for this message, Lord, and the attentiveness of the people today. Father, no one knows the heart of men, women, boys, and girls like you do. In fact, you're the only one that does know. So, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit has moved in the hearts of people today and that you will change their lives and make them whole through the Lord Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, amen.